Good morning, and thank you for listening to 88.5 KRFY. You tuned in to the morning show, and we are live in the studio today. I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts this morning.
And I'm the second host over here, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to see you. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a little bit cloudy out there, you know, after all that sunshine we had. So, hey, classic spring weather. But we have a great show today for folks. We're going to be talking first with Denise Mills from the Sandpoint Single Adult Ministry. She's going to tell us what that's about. Denise, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And then we're at the second part of our show, we're going to be talking with a couple of folks from Rights of Nature and Community, which is a group that does interesting things as well in our community.
So, and we're going to find out all about it, because I have no idea about both of the groups that are coming in today that are here. And it's kind of fun to find out new things that are going on in our community.
It's a day of discovery.
That's right.
But what else is going on?
Lots of different things. We could do the Sandpoint City Minute, or we could do the weather.
Let's start with the weather.
Okay. From the National Weather Service, currently it's 36 degrees out, kind of a cool, crisp morning. Today we can expect areas of frost and then mostly cloudy with a high of 58. Tonight, low 36. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. I just like saying that. And Friday, mostly sunny. And it's all the way into the next week, mostly sunny during the day. Highs 59, 63, 67 on Saturday. So there you go. We're getting warmer. And the evenings are cool. 37, 39, 42.
67 on Saturday sounds glorious.
Well, I didn't even say Sunday. Yeah. 68.
Oh, nice.
There you go. And mostly sunny.
A couple other things that are happening outside in the natural world. Sunrise this morning was at 5:29 a.m. It'll set tonight at 7:58 p.m. Over the course of the last week, we've gained 21 minutes of daylight per day, which is our days keep getting longer, so that's really nice. Other things, Lake Pendere, lake level is coming up now as they're starting to fill the lake with the operations of the Albany Falls Dam. It came up 0.98 of a foot in the last 7 days, so it's almost a foot higher now. The rivers are flowing with a lot of runoff. Moye River is at 1260 cubic feet per second. Priest River is at 3010 cubic feet per second. And there's a neat event coming up in the heavens new moon is on Saturday, and then on Monday night, that's this coming Monday, May 6th, there's going to be the Eta Aquarids meteor shower, which could produce a meteor about 1 minute, actually, during the course of that evening at the peak, which comes usually late at the night. But if we have a clear night, that'd be a good night to get out and look up, and maybe you'll see some falling stars.
I always like Wednesdays because you tell us what's going on in the heavens. And it's supposed to be clear Monday night, so that should be really exciting. Those meteor showers.
And because there'll be a new moon right around that time, it'll be dark. So the falling stars should be easy to see.
Well, that's great. Good to know.
Other things going on around town? What's happening in the city? So there's a city minute coming here.
Jennifer Stapleton, the administrator from the city of Sandpoint, has been sending us little notes of what's going on and what they'd like announced for our Sandpoint City Minute on Wednesday's morning show. And here you go. The city is kicking off its park and recreation master planning efforts today with its selected consultants, Greenplay LLC. Greenplay representatives will outline the planning process in a presentation to the city council tonight. And then tomorrow, the city and Greenplay will hold an open public forum at the Hive in downtown Sandpoint from 6 to 7:30 p.m. That's tomorrow night. Members of the public in the greater Sandpoint area are encouraged to attend to provide feedback on the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the city's current park and recreation system, including traditional parks, open spaces, trails, and recreation programming. All user groups and youth are especially encouraged to participate and have their voices heard. That's tomorrow night, the public open forum at the Hive from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Well, that would be a good one to go to. Everybody that's interested and gets out and does things in our parks, anything in the city should definitely be weighing in on what the plan will be going forward. They're working on a master plan, basically, for the city park. So
I think, you know, for a town this size, we have really nice parks.
Oh, we have one of the best parks in the world at City Beach, really. It's just glorious.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. A couple other things going on around town before we get into the main topics of the day. But there's the Sandpoint Rotary Club is putting on a cool event on Saturday. It's called A Dinner to Die For. It's an evening of mystery entertainment and a gourmet dinner at the Tango Cafe. Money supports many community projects that Sandpoint Rotary puts on. If you're interested in attending that, you better get a ticket soon. You can go to dinnertodiefor.org to get tickets to that. And a couple other things happening. Sandpoint Farmers Market opens for the season on Saturday at Farm and Park. That's always a great event. And right now, the K&K Fishing Derby is underway through Sunday on Lake Pondere. If you're a fisherman, or you think you want to be a fisherman, you might want to call up one of the charter boats and get out there and see if you can catch one of those big fish. They have great prizes, and that money helps support the work of the Lake Pondere Idaho Club. And there's a ton more going on around town. If you want to check out the community calendars on our website, krfy.org, they're provided by sandpointonline.com. You can also see them there. And with that, let's get on to today's main topic. Denise Mills is with us from the Sandpoint Single Adult Ministries, or SAM for short. Denise, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Fill us in. What is SAM?
Sandpoint Single Adult Ministries is a group of single adults aged 40 and over, and we have all ranges of ages in this group, and there are various reasons why they are single, from being never married to divorcees to widowers. And we have all ages represented in the group, and we have a number of churches represented in the group as well. We have partnered with two churches in the Sandpoint area, with Cedar Hills Church and North Summit, and we are reaching out to other churches as well to try to let everybody know about the group. Singles need some place to be, a safe place to be, and that's what we like to generate.
So tell us a little bit about the background. How did the group start and when did it start?
The group started in 2015 with two former members who have since moved away from the area. But they saw the need for singles to have a safe place to meet. And so they started the group and just got it off the ground. And then they moved away in 2017. And then we just reformatted ourselves and have a new leadership team. And we meet regularly on Thursday nights for a Bible study, potluck meal. And then we have our monthly First Friday meetings.
And how many folks are currently involved?
We have over 100 people that follow us on meetup.com as well as on our contact list. But we have anywhere from 12 to 25 people that come regularly on our meeting nights that we have.
And how often do you meet?
Every Thursday night at 6:30, we meet for our Bible studies. And then on the first Friday of every month, we have a meeting.
So it's probably a good place to ask. Where do you meet? Can people just show up if they're interested?
Oh, yes. We do like to have people RSVP if they can, so we know what to expect. But our Thursday night meeting, we meet over at the Schweitzer Ranch Building Community Center over behind the fairgrounds. And our first Friday meetings are held at Cedar Hills Church.
And if they did want to RSVP or find a little bit more information before they show up, how do they do that?
They could find us on meetup.com and just look for Sandpoint Sams, or they can email us and we could get back to them, or they could call us.
You guys have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do. Yeah. It is a closed group, but okay. They can ask to join the group, yep. And then the moderator can accept them.
So if you have a Facebook page, you can find... is it
Sandpoint Sam?
Sandpoint Sam on Facebook, and then you ask to join the group, and I imagine that probably you approve everybody that wants to join.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And we also, when anybody wants to join us on meetup.com, they look for Sandpoint Sams, and then they ask to join that group. Yeah. And we just ask that they answer a few questions. and then the moderator of the group will accept them.
You know, when you were describing how it started, the founders saw a need for a safe place. What does it mean, a safe place?
The one thing that Sandpoint Sams is not is they are not a dating group. We do not promote dating relationships. We do allow and encourage people to have a relationship if they want it. But we want to know that when they come to our meetings, that they're not going to be chased or solicited to go out on dates. We're there to build our faith, to encourage fellowship and friendship, and have a lot of good food.
Speaking of good food, so you have a potluck.
Yes.
And that's once a month?
That potluck actually is every Thursday night. We meet after work and starting at 6:30, and we just have a good potluck meal. Sometimes it's the best meal of the week for a single adult. And then we go on with our Bible study.
That right there, worth the price of admission, I'm sure.
It certainly is.
Everyone's ears perked up at that. Well, you know, food is nurturing, and if you're trying to create a nurturing environment for people, and there's a lot of activities that on the little write-up that I received, it talked about some of your fun activities. So you must have your meetings, your Bible study, and then plan activities.
Yes, we do have a calendar, and I do send it out by email every month, so they could email me and I could send out the calendar. But we schedule this Friday is our first Friday, and then Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, we like to meet at a local restaurant after church and just have fellowship. And sometimes the last time we had it, we had like 14, 15 people that joined us at the local restaurants. Sometimes we like to go out for hikes, and a lot of times our activities are on the spur of the moment. People will just text each other and say, hey, I'm doing this tonight. Who wants to join me?
So it really is a formed group of single Christian adults that really finds a way to support each other and have fun.
Yes, exactly. And we do also pay attention to the faith side of what we do. We want to encourage people to grow their relationship with the Lord as well as with one another. And we want that to be a safe happening.
So is it non-denominational, or are you following a particular church?
It is non-denominational. We have a number of churches that are represented by the people who come to our group. We're not particular, and we do not encourage people to change one church to go to another. We let people just get strong in their faith and become community members as well as a contributing member of the church that they choose to attend.
What if somebody's not, doesn't have a religious bent?
They can come. They just do have to understand that we are a faith-based group and we are going to have Bible studies. They are more than welcome to join us.
Mm-hmm. And how is the Bible study conducted?
We have a group of leaders that conducts the meeting. Sometimes we watch a video. Sometimes we read chapters out of a book. Sometimes we have an actual Bible study out of the Bible. Sometimes we listen to an audio book. Right now, we're going to be starting a book called The Book of Mysteries, and it's by Jonathan Cahn. And it has to do with a number of things in regards to the Jewish religion and Hebrew and prophetic signs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of churches have needs. I'm just was wondering if your group, as a Christian group, supports or sponsors any church-related events, you know?
As far as an activity, we just encourage the singles to get involved in their groups, in whatever gifting and talent that they might have. We like to attend the churches with one another. We may say, hey, let's all meet over at so-and-so's church today. And then we'll just sit there because we like to reach out to the leadership of each churches to introduce the group to them. And sometimes numbers has a big impact on the leadership. And we have been having information tables at different churches to contact the singles and let them sign up and be a part of the group. And a number of people do sign up, but yet we still have those that are afraid to come out. Mm-hmm. And we just want to encourage them that it's safe to come out.
Are you involved with other nonprofit organizations around town, supporting the food bank or other the charitable organizations?
What we did last year one time is the library had a community garden work day because they just set up a new garden. And so the Cedar Hills, it was through the Cedar Hills, but we had a number of people in the singles group come and be a part of that. And we are looking for outreach opportunities. We do have to remember, though, that a number of people in the group are still the working population, and so whatever we choose to do has to be done on a weekend. And sometimes that's hard to get everybody together on a weekend, but we do try to look into different things. We are looking for different things to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the age groups are between 40 and up, basically. How does it skew, though? Does it skew to the lower end of that, or is it?
It's actually in the middle. We have a couple people that I believe are in their 40s, and then we have some that are in their 80s. Okay. And the ones that are in their 80s want a more lively group to be a part of, and we welcome them. In the activities that we choose to do, sometimes we get the younger group because they're more involved in going out on walks. We actually have had a bowling night, and we'll get every age represented in that, and it's a blast to watch everybody try and bowl that hasn't bowled in their entire life or bowled once when they were children. Mm-hmm. It's a blast. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other fun activities? Because it's what I'm reading is you like to get together and have fun. What are some of those fun activities?
We will have game nights, and anybody who has a game can bring it. Last Halloween we had a harvest night, and we had bowling where we bowled pumpkins against rolled paper towels. It was a blast. And we will have silly things sometimes. It's so funny to watch what happens when we have some of our game nights. And we have very creative people who will set up games. We will just go to a concert, or we'll go to a movie, and just have any kind of outings. With summer coming up, we're hoping to have some outdoor activities like a barbecue or just some more hikes, and some of our hikes are mild, like the Pend Oreille Trail, and some more aggressive and more fit people will go up the Micknick.
Which is a pretty good climb.
Yes, it is a very good climb. I haven't been on it yet, and that isn't something that I can do at this point, so I would choose the Pend Oreille Trail.
Okay, yeah. The Pend Oreille Trail is really flat, an easy walk. Micknick has got a lot of elevation gain. But having been up there, I'll say it's worth the pain, actually, because the especially if you hit it in, let's say, late June on, because the wildflowers are really starting to happen.
It sounds like a fun, interesting group. Just to recap a little bit, it is called Sandpoint Single Adult Ministries, or SAM for short. And you've been around since 2015. How have you seen the membership grow, or ebb or tide?
It grows. We haven't really had too many people drop off the group. If they have, it's because they've moved away from the area. We will see a number of people come out for one of our events, and then we won't see them for another couple months. A number of the people in the group are grandparents, so they schedule a lot of activities with their families and their grandkids. So with the summer months coming up, we'll see people coming in from Spokane and Coeur d'Alene to attend some of our things. We will also go to the singles activities that are in Coeur d'Alene or Spokane.
Oh, so you interact with some of those groups as well?
Yes. Uh-huh. There's another group that's called Christian Pulse, Coeur d'Alene Pulse. There's Spokane SAMs. They are a sister group with our group, and we just have members in each one of those that join us.
When you say sister, is there a national organization that this falls under the umbrella?
No, we're just a local group. We're not even a nonprofit. We haven't incorporated or anything. We've just kind of chosen the name. There are a number of Christian single groups in the whole country, and a lot of them are called Single Adult Ministry. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of just patterned our name after that as well. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you had different leadership for a while. Now you have some different folks that are kind of leading this. So it really comes down to the willingness of somebody to step forward and say, hey, let's organize this and keep things rolling.
Yes, that's what happened about a year or so ago. That happened, and we had to reformat the group and just figure out who had what talent. And we've taken off, and it's been a great time. We've had some great friendships, and it's been a big blessing to me, because as a single adult who worked and used to have horses, I was just locked into my routine, and I didn't really have any other friends other than what I would see on a Sunday morning. So this has been a great thing for me, because it's brought me out of my shell.
Mm-hmm. How long have you lived here?
I moved here in the fall of 85.
Okay, so quite a long time.
I could be considered a native right now.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some formula for that, I'm sure, out there.
Like born here.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, The Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and we're speaking this morning with Denise Mills. She's with the Sandpoint Single Adult Ministries. And so you described the age group as being between 40 and up into the 80s. So it's, you know, adults that are a little bit older. What kind of professions are represented here? Because I'm sure a lot of these are working people who are recently retired.
We have people that work in the insurance industry, real estate. We have people that work at the hospital. I'm a bookkeeper by trade. We have a lot of retirees. And a number of the other people, we don't see them enough to really have a time to find out exactly what they do. But we just have every representative job in the area.
So you're likely to connect up with somebody that shares your specific interests, I'm sure.
I think the specific interest that joins us is our faith, because the job isn't, I don't know if there's any other bookkeepers in the group right now. I don't know if there's any other hospital workers in the current group besides the one or two people that I know, but it's our faith that joins us together. Mm-hmm.
And how supportive do you find that Bible study within the group?
It has been a blessing because we have had some heart-to-heart conversations that open us up. And some of us have been able to bring up issues that have been in our past. And we talk a lot about relational activities and how we can restore ourselves so that we are better people.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting group to be there for people, another supportive foundational group. Again, just let people know how they could make contact.
If they would like to email us, we have an email. It's called sandpointsam@gmail.com. Sandpointsams. Make sure you put the S on the sams@gmail.com. And that is moderated by one of the leaders of the group, and they can email that and ask for more information. Mm-hmm.
And they can also find you. There is a Facebook group page that they could request to join, as well as meetup.com, which is an interesting place for people to find all kinds of organizations. There are a number of local organizations on there as well at
yes.
meetup.com. So, and they could probably see a little bit more about the group in either of those places.
Facebook, yes, and or, if they just search for single groups or Christian single groups, they're going to find a number in the area that they can join that group, and they can see all the activities. They can set up their own account, and then they can choose favorites, different things. Like if they're hikers, they can find hiking activities and become part of hiking groups.
Oh, right.
But they can also
through Meetup, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. through Meetup. Mm-hmm. And so, but on Meetup, we put all of our activities, our monthly meetings, our weekly meetings, our extracurricular activities. So they can always just search for us and see what activity we have. And they don't have to commit to coming to everything. They can just come to one mm-hmm. and have a good time and be happy mm-hmm. and then decide if they want to come back.
And get a nice meal out of it.
That's right.
That's great. Denise Mills from Sandpoint Single Adult Ministries, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this uplifting, supportive group that you've formed and are a part of and is in our community.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're going to take a little musical break and then come back with our second guest. We have Liz Iha and Tracy Morgan, I think is the last name, from Rights of Nature and Community. We'll find out about that. But first, we're going to have a song by Dave Mallett. It's called Off the Ground. And we'll be back with the rest of the morning show here at 88.5 KRFY. Stay with us. And that was Dave Mallett, Off the Ground. And we're back in the studios of 88.5 KRFY for the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. What do we have going on now, Chris? We have our second group of guests.
We do. We're speaking now with Liz Iha. And Liz, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Iha.
Okay. And Tracy Morgan. Tracy, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
You're with the Rights of Nature and Community. You have an event happening, a Rights of Nature workshop, and that is tonight. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. In is it in Newport?
It's in Old Town at Rotary Park.
It's in Old Town. Okay.
Yes.
West of here, just right across the river from Newport. Now that's in, actually Idaho. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know much about Old Town. So let's start with the start here. What is the workshop, and what do you mean by rights of nature?
Well, I guess I'll start first because we wanted to give a little bit of context about how we got involved in this project. I'm with on the board of Responsible Growth Northeast Washington. We kind of launched that group when there was word of a large industrial facility going to be placed in Newport, Washington. But we realized that we weren't interested in just working on one project and being a kind of a one project type of group. We wanted to have a vision, a longer and broader vision for the growth of the area. And so then we started getting interested in things that would be long-term protection for our environment and our residents' health. Mm-hmm. And
that's exactly why, speaking on that, why this rights of nature is so imperative right now, because legalizing nature's rights, as Kai says, is a pathway to protecting our quality of life. And that's exactly what we're trying to protect here with that proposed smelter over in, that's the industrial thing complex that Tracy was speaking of. And it definitely feels like that's something we can do, and others are already doing right now. The most exciting thing is in Toledo, Ohio, the group of citizens got together and just now passed a Bill of Rights for Lake Erie. And that was, they brought it to brought it to the ballot, and it passed by 61%, and it was added to the city's bylaws, and now it's being protected. The Lake Erie is, it's being worked to be protected. It's so new. And there's others like that.
So the idea behind a natural body having basically legal rights, is that correct?
Yep.
So in the case you're speaking of, Lake Erie have courts actually ruled on this to say, yeah, you do have standing as a legal entity?
Good question.
If I could just mention, probably a lot of people are wondering, why do we need to give a natural entity legal rights in the first place? Well, as we were starting to look at the project coming into Newport, we realized that the existing laws were not working for us. We were having to defend the environment as private citizens without the environment having the rights on its own standing to exist in a clean and healthy, sustainable, renewable way. And so the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act were traditionally used to protect environmental entities. But the problem with those acts is that they actually allow corporations to pollute up to a given limit. And we have a very clean, relatively speaking, to Detroit mm-hmm. or some other areas in the world, relatively clean environment, and corporations are starting to get wind that there's this cap that they can match to pollute up to and have quite a margin of pollution in the area because we have cleaner air and water. And mm-hmm. so the crux of the issue is that corporations have personhood. We have personhood. You and I have personhood. In a court of law, we can file damages. We can be have injury and harm towards us, and we have the legal right to defend ourselves. And so do corporations on equal par.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of an idea that we're bouncing around right now. Is that we want equal rights for the living. The fact that corporations are up there, pretty much what feels like in America right now, at the top, it just doesn't feel right. That we have to work so hard as citizens who have jobs, who have families, who struggle to get through a week, have to work so hard to protect something that should just naturally exist in nature, pun intended, and in our Constitution, honestly. We want equal rights for the living eventually.
And it looks like you have you know, looking at this material you brought in, the legal rights of nature as a priority with the idea of this emerging as a global transformation. Mm-hmm. So it starts wherever you are. And how broad of a concept and group is this? You mentioned Toledo, Ohio. And if it's going to expand out to the global transformation, mm-hmm. where are we at now with the...
Do you want me to... let's see. I did want to mention that the Rights of Nature was brought to Washington State Gonzaga University Environmental Law Group back in 2006. Some of the founding fathers in South Africa who established Rights of Nature there came to speak to the law students. One of the first, well, the first law of Rights of Nature was in Pennsylvania. And that was in, 2006. So it's just caught on in spots across the globe. It's been deployed and applied in different ways. And so it's being tested at the current.
In Ecuador in 2008, Ecuador actually became the first country in the world to recognize the rights of nature in its national constitution. So it's pretty far reaching. In 2017, New Zealand also passed the parliament there finalized, I don't want to mispronounce this, but Te Awa Tupua Act, and that's granting one of the rivers their legal status as an ecosystem. And legal status, like Tracy was talking about, it means that damages can be sued for and that certain things just aren't allowed for that living body.
Mm-hmm. So it seems that the idea that, you know, there would be a right of nature for a particular body of water, or mm-hmm. I guess it could be a mountain, or mm-hmm. it could be anything.
A range.
A range.
Selkirks, like the cabinets.
Right. Or wild rice. The newer laws by the Ojibwa Nation has mm-hmm. written into their statutes that wild rice has the right to not go extinct and to persist and help sustain their cultural heritage as well.
So, but as a legal concept, it hasn't been tested very much so far, or has it?
Different places have tested it to different extents. In some cases, such as the national statutes that have been placed, such as in Ecuador and Colombia, what they're doing is putting it into the statutes and then sorting out how that's going to look in the actual law. Because the truth is that. We've done a lot of damage, and we would be in court for eons just trying to, you know, repair and remediate and restitution for the damaged entities. So the vision is that the courts will find a balance between persons and, you know, the persons involved. But the underlying premise is that the corporate persons would not have as strong standing as the living ones, the humans or the natural ones. Hmm. Because death would be involved, basically. Hmm. Our health would be involved. So,
well, okay, so tell us a little bit more about the particular event that's happening tonight. You have a speaker. It's mm-hmm. Kai Hushke, and he is he's with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund.
Correct.
So take it from there. Tell us a bit more about what Kai was going to be talking about.
I'll let Tracy tell about that.
Okay, so we Responsible Growth Northeast Washington became involved with Kai pretty early on, about almost a year and a half ago. Yeah. So just exploring what they're doing. The CELDEF is the acronym we use for his organization, has two components. You either look at civil and community rights, or you look at net rights of nature. And so we explored community rights with Kai relative to the smelter. That involves changing laws and statutes in the county rules and regulations. There is no initiative process in Monterey County. So basically the vote, you know, voting for your commissioners is how you make a change. So, you know, and until the majority of Monterey County residents want to change their laws in that way, you know, pretty much going to stay the same. So we looked to the rights of nature His background is in helping us organize, decide, consider what entities we would look at protecting or whether or not we wanted to start a more broader wordage of just putting it into some statutes and regulatory wording and what jurisdiction that would be under. It's very complicated, this part of it. And frankly, I don't know about Liz, but this is why I'm going to the workshop tonight, because I'm not sure about that part of it. And I don't think we have to be that knowledgeable, because they have a suite of lawyers who have been doing this since 2003, six, starting with the Pennsylvania group, and who are testing this law as we go. So,
I'm wondering about this CAN, Citizens Against the Newport Silicon Smelter. Are they involved in your group? Because the smelter kind of inspired a whole level, new level of getting involved. CANs came up to try to stop it on a certain level. This sounds like a deeper, more foundational way of working when you're actually protecting the environment legally. But they're not really involved in this.
They're not directly involved with us with this workshop. No. But speaking to what you just said, Susie, the deeper level is exactly it. I got involved with what was going on with the smelter in the fall, and a friend said to me, "Dear friend, what's going on with this thing?" I'm like, "You know what? I don't have an idea. Let me find out." And it just started this whole slew of finding how many groups are actually around this area, all the way from, you know, from Western Washington through, well, I'm sorry, Eastern Washington through North Idaho into Eastern Montana, working to protect nature in so many ways. You've got the Rock Creek Alliance, you've got Wild Idaho Rising Tide, you've got CANS, you've got RG New, you've got, the list goes on and on. And I spoke to a friend who said, "You know, I've been here, I've been doing this for 40 years in this area." And I thought, I that's amazing. I am happy to pick up that torch. But mama don't got time for that in a certain way. And so I started thinking, well, what the heck else can we do outside of, like I said earlier, spending so much time and energy and effort? Can we have some type of blanket rezoning, to speak in the way of planning and commission, to rezone and to somehow just protect nature as its own living entity, as opposed to all the work? Not opposed to. I shouldn't say not opposed to, because it's all together. Thank God that work is out there being done. And thank goodness we're all together doing it at these different organizations. So, yeah, this would take us to the deeper level, hopefully all together.
And of course, there everyone is invited. And once the mission of CANS is met, you know, maybe they will reform and get a longer term vision of what they want to do.
Okay, so tell us again when and where the meeting tonight is.
Sure. So the meeting is tonight in Old Town, Idaho, at the Rotary Park Club, right off the highway there. And it is from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And we'll have a Kai there to speak and some refreshments to be provided. So it's exciting, and I'm excited to learn what he has to share from his long time experience now.
So as you're coming into Old Town, just before you hit the bridge, goes across the Ponderay River there, you would turn right or left to...
Left.
You would turn left from Sandpoint.
From Sandpoint.
It's a kind of a rest area and a boat launch,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah, so I'm it's familiar that with that. Right there. Before the bridge, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
And the speaker, you mentioned he. His name is Kai Huschke, and he's with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, and he will walk you through what it means to establish the rights of a natural entity in support of its long-term survival and sustainability. I like that phrase. That's why I just said it. It really describes what the work will be, mm-hmm. And that's tonight in Old Town at the Rotary Park at 68 Diamond Mill Road in Old Town. It's free to the public.
Mm-hmm. And we have just a few minutes left. Why don't you gave us kind of a workshop overview here. Why don't you relate to listeners some of the specific topics that Kai is going to speak to?
Sure. Yeah. He said it definitely is from an idea to an emerging global transformation. We're seeing this happen in certain ways all over the globe. So he's going to talk about the timeline of that and how that has come about since CELDEF formed in 2006. He's also going to talk about current environmental law and how current environmental law and activism may have not done what it's needful is, what our current regulatory laws are, what they are, how they work, also animal protection laws, what they are and how they work. He's also going to overview the function of the environmental laws, so in place, once they're in place, what they do. Also, what I'm excited about, too, is the indigenous views on the rights of nature, because that is something that I look at personally on, that's how we can do this. Look at for how many, Tracy, as you were saying, too, how many thousands of years indigenous people were living in symbiotic relationship with nature, and both were all the better for it. So he's going to be talking about that. Also, the background, there's a gentleman, Christopher Stone, in the 70s wrote a book. Should trees have standing? I'm not sure if it was a book
treatise.
Or
yeah.
A treatise. Thank you. It was a treatise. Exactly. Like, wait a minute. Not a book. So he's going to talk about that. And also the story of the very first one in Pennsylvania that Tracy mentioned, Tamaqua Burroughs. So he's just going to give us history on it. Also the evolution of the Lake Erie Bill of Rights and in Colombia, the high court decision that was made there. And then kind of importantly is how communities can secure rights like this and how we can break down barriers and talking about how we take action on securing these rights and challenging our current status quo.
Yeah.
So I wanted to pick up on something Liz said about this symbiotic relationship with nature. Our little joke was, symbiosis better than parasitic relationship with nature? You know, we want that flourishing of both, mm-hmm. both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. And I did want to mention that the Pope has come out with a statement at the UN to try to help establish globally rights of nature that he said the environment has a right to live. So. Mm-hmm. There's a moral and spiritual component mm-hmm. too, as well.
You mentioned animal rights. You know, there has been some law I know that's been contested about do animals have legal rights themselves? And I think where it stands right now, they don't actually have legal rights, but they're legal considerations for animals.
Well, they're actually considered property in U.S. law. Animals are considered property. Nature is considered property, and the Environmental Protection Act was meant to protect species, but it was the same idea where you could take so many mm-hmm. animals and still be within a range of a margin of error that was acceptable for corporations.
Well, that margin just gets me every time. Who knows what that margin is? I mean, who can say that this level of pollution or this level of species, this number is safe or necessary? Who can say? That's nature. I mean, I don't know if there's enough science behind to ever give an accurate percentage or number or anything like mm-hmm. that.
So. And there's this inherent conflict between the corporation having to maximize their profits. It's in the legal framework of the United States. They're required to do that. And so having to maximize your profits could mean just paying a fee for polluting beyond the levels that are in our current laws or taking, it's called a take of an endangered species mm-hmm. that's outlined in our current law. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and there's certainly animal populations all around the world that are nearing extinction at this mm-hmm. point. And the world will certainly be poorer for that. There was just some hullabaloo about a rhinoceros, baby rhinoceros being born in a zoo. And, you know, I was just considering that. It's one of a species that there's only about a little over 3,000 of these animals left in the world. And just one birth can actually make a difference for that particular species. But if there's not a place for these animals to live, mm-hmm. then their number is up, basically. And we're seeing that with so many other animal populations. The one that comes home to us is the caribou. We're mm-hmm. just declared extinct in the Selkirks. On our side, it's kind of contested right now. There's some evidence there might still be a few animals that are coming across the border from Canada. But this is a very high concept that that nature and natural bodies and animals might actually have inherent legal rights that is going to be, I'm sure, contested more and more legally as we go forward.
Well, I think we're looking at how do humans live in balance with nature in a bigger context. But getting specific, you have a workshop coming up, and I want to thank both of you for coming in and telling us a little bit more of this deeper work that's involved in our environment and nature. And that workshop, again, is tonight. It's May 1st from 6 to 8:30. It's free, open to the public. There will be snacks. And that's an important thing to make sure. I bet there will be good snacks. And that's in Old Town at the Rotary Park. That's 68 Diamond Mill Road in Old Town, Idaho. And it is called the Rights of Nature Workshop. If there was a phone number, is there a phone number someone could call? Oh, I see it. Can I say it on the air? 971-301-2521 if you need more information. Or is there a website for the workshop?
There isn't a website for the workshop, I don't believe, okay. But I would guide listeners to celldef.org. That is a celldef.org.
Okay.
And the workshop's on that website.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you also have Responsible Growth Northeast Washington. You could find that as a website or a Facebook page, and there's a contact number there as well. I don't see the information about the particular workshop up on the pages yet.
I don't know if it's on their website, but it's definitely on the Facebook page.
Okay.
There's an event there.
Well, we want to thank you both, Liz and Tracy Morgan, for coming in and talking to us. Stay in touch with us so that we can support the work you're doing in on-air announcements.
Thank you both for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
So we have about 9 minutes left. Chris, do you want to go into what's happening in our community and at the station? Or should we have a song first? A quick song.
Well, let's see. There, of course, there's always a ton of stuff going on around town. And if I can call up the community calendars here.
Real quick, I'll just say that tomorrow on the morning show, we have with Jack Peterson and Jim Healy, for the Thursday edition of the morning show, their guests will be Heather McCoy, who is organizing the upcoming Hospice Kids Camp concert. I think that concert is on the 3rd, so it's coming up Friday. But you can hear all about it tomorrow on the morning show. That's at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY. And did you find your calendar, Chris?
Susie, we, of course, have tons of things going on around this town, as always. Tonight, as we were just mentioning, 6 to 8:30 in Old Town, there's the Rights of Nature workshop. If you want to get involved with some high concept ideas about how to protect the environment, that's open to the public. There also tonight, there's Wind Down Wednesday at the 219 Lounge with acclaimed musician Truck Mills is going to be playing. I don't know if you ever heard Truck Mills, but he's really good. He plays the whole region.
Yeah. I think we all know Truck Mills.
Yeah.
We really like his music.
He's been playing for many years around the community. He's an excellent musician. He's going to be playing with guest musician Tom Dubendorfer. That's tonight at the 219 Club. Then tomorrow, if music is your thing, there's a community sing. Sandpoint Community Sing has happened. It's a 90-minute weekly event. Everybody's invited to come and join in with songs about life, love, nature, emotions, gratitude, activism, peace, and the overall human experience. Songs are taught in the oral tradition of call and response. So you don't have to know these songs when you come. You get to sing in with the folks that are leading it. And that's at 7 p.m. at Downtown Yoga. That's tomorrow, Thursday, and it's held every Thursday at that location. Friday, of course, kicks off the weekend. There's a lot of things going on there. Devin Wade is going to be playing at McDuff's Beer Hall on Friday. The 219 is going to have Harold's IGA playing on Friday from 9 until midnight. And some other things going on. This is kind of a sign of the season. On Saturday is going to be the first Sandpoint Farmers Market of the season at the Farm and Park. There'll be some fresh produce, and there is actually a little bit of fresh produce already happening from folks who have probably
covered crops.
Covered crops, yeah.
Greenhouses.
And there's all kinds of, you can buy starts if you're a gardener yourself. There's artisan goods. There's also a live entertainment with Ben and Katie from Harold's IGA will be playing there. And the Sandpoint Bollywood Dancers are going to be doing a little show from 11:30 to noon.
Not to be missed.
And the Sandpoint Music Conservatory percussion demo, and there's going to be a maypole. That's all happening on Saturday. That's going to be pretty fun at the first farmer's market of the season. Also on Saturday, ton of stuff going on. The museum is having their free first Saturday. You can get in for free from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you haven't been to the Bonner County Historical Museum, they're at 611 South Ella. You definitely want to check that out because they have some great local history exhibits that everybody should catch to know more about it. And then here's another sign of the season. Silverwood is opening with their 31st anniversary opening. They probably have some events and things. That happens on Saturday and Sunday as well, opening for the season. A sign of spring for sure.
Well, there's a lot going on in our community this coming week and into the future. And you can go to Sandpoint Online and find out, or you can go to krfy.org. Is that correct? But I also wanted to just give a little heads up, two things that are coming up in June. KRFY will have its annual membership drive event. It's really a fun two-day event where we're live on the air for about 12 hours each day. We have music. When you mentioned Truck Mills, I always try to get him to come in and play some music, but local musicians will be coming in to play music. Some of our underwriters will be coming in and different community organizations, but also lots of really great music, really encouraging people to understand that we have a treasure here at 88.5 KRFY Community Radio and that it does take listener support. It takes community support, which we have and we are grateful for. And it's our once a year kind of pitch effort to continue that support and to show.
Hey, to get that ball rolling early, you could even right this very moment, you could go to KRFY.org and make a contribution to the radio station. This station goes 100% on donations from the community, from underwriters, from listeners, and of course, it's almost entirely volunteer powered. We have, 20 plus volunteers that come on and do broadcasts and keep the equipment going here. Like you and me, Susie, we're volunteering this morning.
We're just volunteering, and it's really a lot of fun. But that's true. You could be one of the first folks to make a donation at krfy.org. We have a secure PayPal button. You could make $5 a month donation. It's pretty easy. It's pretty painless to do that, or you can just make a one-time, I'm a listener, I support community radio. I think we have a treasure here, and I think it's only going to get better. So there you go. We're about out of time. We have one song queued in. We want to thank everyone for listening today. Tomorrow, the morning show will be here again at 8 a.m., and we're going to go out with a song by Greg Brown called Driftless. Hope you have a good day.
Yes, bye now.
I also wanted to mention that we're sponsors for the Bay Trail Run. But we'll do that next week. I'll put that on the reader board next week for everybody to start talking about getting registered for that. We're one of the sponsors, so.